The following is a presentation of the Chicago Bears Network. On the air, online, and on demand. Visit the Chicago Bears Network page on chicagobears.com. And now, welcome to Bears All Access. Your all-access pass into Chicago Bears football. Featuring Zach Zaidman, Bears veteran Patrick Manley, and more of your favorite Bears players. Bears All Access is brought to you by Sports Authority and sponsored by University of Phoenix, Tempur-Pedic, and Comcast.
Well, if you've ever wanted to know what NFL players do on their bye week, you're about to find out. We're joining you from Patrick Manley's yacht on Lake Michigan. Living it up here, the good life. Week off from football.
Yeah, it's a little cold out here right now. It's a little cold and windy on the yacht. Yeah, right.
That is the longest tenured Bear in the history of the Chicago Bears organization, 94 years and running. Patrick Manley, the captain of the special teams unit. And I'm Zach Zaidman, pleased to be joined for the entire hour by the newcomer to the show, the left tackle, the veteran, Jermon Bushrod. And Jermon, Patrick doesn't like when I point out that he's the longest tenured Bear in the history of the organization. So I'm going to tweak things up a little bit this week. Phil Emery, the general manager, in kind of a rundown of the team at the bye week, went through every aspect of the team. And at one point started talking about special teams, pointed out that Adam Podlish has been doing very well over the last few weeks. Robbie Gould continues to be just a terrific kicker. Devin Hester continues to do his thing. And he called Patrick Manley one of the eighth wonders of the world, which led me to go on Google and start researching what are the other seven wonders of the world before we get to Patrick Manley. So, and for those that don't know, it's the remarkable creations of classical antiquity, including the Great Pyramid of Giza, the Hanging Gardens of Babylon, the Temple of Artemis, the Statue of Zeus, the Colossus of Rhodes, the Lighthouse of Alexandria, the Mausoleum of Halicarnassus, and then there's Patrick Manley right there with the Taj Mahal. You know, Petra in Jordan, Christ the Redeemer, that statue in Brazil, Machu Picchu, the Roman Colosseum. Oh, what does it feel like? I mean, that is, you know, and Phil Emery, he's a smart guy. He's not making stuff up. You know, he's into the arts.
Yeah, I got a bunch of texts and tweets following that, and I wish I didn't know what was going on first. Then I had to find out that it was Phil Emery's press conference, and I just laughed. But I appreciate the, I don't even know what you call it, but oh, well, it's too much attention. I don't like it.
I just think it's remarkable that there, a man who spends most of his Sundays looking at a football field upside down is considered one of the eighth wonders of the world. That's
I don't get it. I don't know. He's just being nice to me, I guess. I don't know.
This is Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority on the Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Now, here's what I want to know, because a lot's been made this week, and you guys have had a few days to digest some of the issues. It's never easy when you lose the quarterback of your offense and the quarterback of your defense, but you guys have both been around a long time. You know, Jermon, you guys had a very difficult situation in New Orleans where, you know, it seemed like half the team was suspended, including the head coach. How do you rebound from something like this?
I'll let Jermon answer this first, because you went through something, you know, it's I wouldn't call it catastrophic, but something that's was tough to deal with.
Yeah. Well, you know, just pointing back to the whole Bounty situation and all those suspensions and allegations and stuff that was going down from that, it just kind of brought our team closer. And that's all you really can do. You can either get closer as a team, or you can unravel and things can go bad. And the type of organization that we have here, we're going to come together. We're going to get it done. And we have to. We don't have a choice. You know, nobody wants to go out there and not put their best foot forward. And we have the total confidence in whoever has to step up and make these plays.
I think that's what I think, too, is that we have talent in the backup positions. It's young at the linebacker position with Kasim Green and Bostic and them stepping in. But with Josh, you just saw the way he played in the second half. And I think with our offensive line, Jermon included, obviously, that the protection they give the quarterback, he can go out and produce. And Josh has proven that.
And Pat's seen a lot of quarterbacks play for the Bears in his
time
here.
Too many.
And you know, I think players know when a guy's got a certain sense of confidence that he can execute the offense. Josh McCown has that. And I think the biggest thing, and it starts with Jermon, the rest of the offensive line, there are more weapons here than you've seen in a long, long time, which I think can help mitigate the loss of Jay Cutler, at least in the short term.
Yeah, I think, you know, we've seen other quarterbacks come in that were maybe young or inexperienced, and they didn't have that around them, like you said. And I think the number one key is the offensive line. If you watched our second half last week, Josh had time to throw the ball, to get it out to the weapons. And I think with the two young guys we have on the right side and everybody else, that's the biggest difference.
Defensively, though, and you've seen a lot of the issues, I think Mark Trestman called it a challenge because you are losing a lot in Lance Briggs. And, you know, everyone saw what not having Lance on the field in that last drive by the Redskins the other day. And same thing with Charles Tillman. It hurts to not have those playmakers out there.
It definitely does. But, you know, I think Lance was playing as good as anybody in the league, and that's going to hurt. But like Jermon said, people have to step up. They have to. We have a team that believes in each other, and they're just going to have to do it. And we got to see it done against Green Bay next Monday.
Now, what is encouraging is your unit, Pat. Devin Hester, for whatever reason in his career, and there's no scientific reason for it, but once he gets that first one, it sure seems as though they come in bunches, those return touchdowns.
He's like a streaky hitter. I think, he, you know, once he hits one home run, he's going to hit a couple more. But I think I've described it to other people that with – Jody Camillus coming in as a new coordinator, it's kind of like an offense getting a new offensive coordinator. It's still football and all that kind of stuff, but you've got to learn new verbiage, new little techniques and things like that, and it doesn't happen overnight. I think as you've watched us play over the last couple of weeks, we've gotten better and better, and with Devin hitting that big home run last Sunday, it showed. And I think the rest of the tape, as we looked at it, we saw we're making big strides.
19 career return touchdowns for Devin Hester. It's just a remarkable number.
It was. Jermon, was it fun to watch it?
That's unreal. I mean, that's, you know.
You see it on the highlights on Sundays all the time.
Exactly.
It's going to be nice to be on the
side. I remember when we were in New Orleans and we came up here and we played Chicago. And Coach would always talk about don't kick the ball to him, don't kick the ball to him. And a couple times that we came up here, we made a mistake by kicking the ball to him, and he took it to the house both times. And he's just an exciting player, man. When I had the opportunity to sign here, he was one of the people that I was, you know, excited just to see play and prepare on a weekly basis.
Yeah, you get to finally jump off the bench and run out there for the PAT.
Exactly. I mean, there's nothing more exciting than that.
Yeah, and then you also, as this starts happening, you'll see our team, they won't go back to the sideline, or the defense won't go back and sit on the bench. They'll wait there and watch the returns, which is kind of fun.
Yeah, it's like the good old days. Yeah. It's been a couple of years since the Bears got to experience Devin Hester taking one back. Join the season ticket priority list for the future opportunity to become a Bears season ticket holder. Visit ChicagoBears.com to join now. Zach Sadman, Patrick Manley, pleased to be joined by Jermon Bushrod for the entire hour here on Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority on Chicago Sports Radio 670, The Score. All right, so first off, before we get to Josh McCown and what he's like in the huddle, what's Jay Cutler like? Because you've experienced, you know, the opportunity to play with one of the best quarterbacks in the league in Drew Brees. And then you go to Jay Cutler, and so much gets said about Jay Cutler by people who don't know him.
Yeah.
You know him.
Yeah.
Pat, you know him. What's he like in the huddle?
Well, first off, man, he's a good guy, man. When I first signed here, he was one of the first people to text me to, you know, welcome me to this team, welcome me to the city. If there's anything I needed, give him a holler. So I knew he was just a good person just by, you know, getting that text as soon as I was able to come here. And getting out there and seeing how competitive he is and seeing all the work he puts in before and after practice and staying after and keeping the guys, you know, the guy works hard, man, and I just want to see him succeed. And, you know, as far as the huddle, man, he's just like you see him walking around. He's cool, calm. He's collected, man, you know, just going out there, and he fights to get it done. He, you know, keeps everyone calm and, you know, gets us on the right page.
You were talking about how tough he is. I mean, when you get a quarterback that's tough, it's got to be a lot easier to protect for him.
Yeah.
You know, you feel bad if you get him hit, touched, or anything like that.
Exactly. I mean, we all want to go out there, you know, kind of going back to what you just said, we all fight for him. You see the amount of work that he puts in, and you just want him to have success. Mm-hmm. You know, a guy like that who doesn't really care about what too many people says about him, he keeps the same mindset on a weekly basis, on a daily basis. And, you know, you just want to go out there and you want to fight for him. And that's what it's about.
You know, it's – how tough is it to – you know, I just forgot what I was going to talk about here, guys. Zach, I'm going to pass it on to you. I apologize.
I'm taking the
I had
snap.
A question to just – yeah.
I feel like this is the last play on special teams where Devin kind of threw
exactly
the ball at Joe Anderson.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
Then
Jay just called an audible here. He told me audible at you.
it happens. Sometimes you lose the audio in the headset. Anyway, the point that I wanted to make about Jay Cutler, and you know, as a guy who doesn't play football, obviously I'm not that big, but being on the sidelines on game day, you don't realize, I think, when you watch on TV, how violent the collisions are on game day, how fast, I mean, people are looking to take other guys' heads off, figuratively, not literally, and except for Brandon Merriweather, and that's a story for another time. But I think that what I find fascinating is the toughness. If you look at Cutler throughout his career, and Pat knows this, you know, there was the game against the Giants back in 2010, where I think the Giants had 9 sacks in the first half, and Cutler tried to fight off a concussion. The doctors had to remove him from the game at halftime because he wouldn't let them see the concussion symptoms. Then there was the MCL sprain with his knee against Green Bay in the NFC Championship game. And when these injuries get reported, I think people are surprised because Cutler never likes to show that he's hurt. You know, he played through a broken thumb against the Chargers in 2011. Yeah. And then after the game, people find out, wait, when did this happen? He played the entire game. And I think that's why seeing him in visible pain the other day, I mean, you knew that it was a little bit more serious than other injuries.
Well, I think it's two things. Like you said, it's physical pain, but it's also the mental pain, is he doesn't want to not be out there for his teammates. I mean, he wants to be the Bears quarterback. I mean, he got such bad press in that Green Bay game when he had the torn MCL. I've had an MCL injury, and it's all personal. It's all different. I've seen guys play through it. I've seen guys sit out for 6 weeks, and you know, I watched him come out at halftime and try to play, and he couldn't play. The thing is that people don't realize, he trumped back in the game. I mean, he was given everything he could to come back in the game, and like you said, even for that injury, the coaches had to pull him out and say, "No, you are not playing."
Yeah, the medical staff did not let him go back on the field, and he got ticked off.
He is. I mean, he's one of the toughest guys I've played with in my entire career. Watching some of the things he's gone through that, you know, I wouldn't say aren't reported, but just the nicks that he practices through or plays through that nobody knows about.
Now, we've had Jay Cutler on the show, and very sarcastic guy. He's got a sense of humor that's a little different, but it's funny. It's got a biting humor. Is he like that in the huddle? Say someone screws up, does he give it to him verbally?
No. It's just he's always just a type of quarterback that, you know, just tells you to move on to the next play. You know, he's a motivating guy, man. You know, you gotta switch your styles up a little bit. You know, when you're out and about, you have a whole different mindset than when you're leading the team. And when he's taking control of that huddle, it's a very motivating type of deal. He's very calm. If our quarterback's not calm, then we can't be calm. So, you know, it's fun going out there and playing for that guy.
Zach Sabin, Patrick Manley, Jermond Bushrod here on Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority. Patrick always talks about how there's a good peer pressure, and I think Cutler has this. He raises the level of your game if you're an offensive teammate, because he will not tolerate mistakes.
Yeah.
He's a super competitive guy. I mean, he's competitive in the ping pong room. He's competitive everywhere.
That's how you got to be, man. When the whole stadium is looking at you, command the offense, you have to be competitive. It's just who you are, and that's what makes you a good player and just an overall just good athlete, because you're going to compete in everything that you do.
And one of his best traits, I think, he truly does not care what people think about him.
Right. I think sometimes that rubs people the wrong way. But like you said, that's one of his best things. That he, like, and then Jermond said it earlier, he just moves on to the next play. If something bad happens, or, you know, it's next play, let's go. I want to make something good happen.
And on a side note, has the best helmet hair out of anyone in the National Football League. I don't know how he does it.
The dude has swag, man. I see him every game day. I'm just like,
I look at him like,
you should be in a GQ magazine, man.
I think
his
hairdresser gives him some special hair products or something.
But, I mean, he takes off the helmet. You know, someone could have tossed him around. He takes off the helmet, and it's just with one flick of the hand, all of a sudden, it's perfect.
There was a preseason game, I think it might have been the first or second one, where he was, you know, they was out early, and I went over there, and I'm like, Jay, your hair is rocking today.
See?
He's like, is it? I was wondering if I should put a hat on or not. I'm like, no, that thing is amazing today. I think he had about an extra inch on the front, too, puffed up. It was a good hair day for him.
Yeah, that's why we call this show Bears All Access. All right, Josh McCown, he's got good hair, too, a little different. What's he like in the huddle?
He was kind of the same, man. He's very chill. You know, he wasn't all over the place. He was very calm. You know, he's been in the league for, I forget, is it 13, 14?
Yeah.
He's been in the league for a long time. He's been doing this for a while, so he knows what to do. He knows how to take command of a huddle, and he knows how to get everybody on the right page, and just, you know, he knew the situation. Our starting quarterback went out. He came in. He didn't seem raveled. He didn't seem like he didn't know what he was doing. He knows exactly what's going on every single play. He's in every single meeting with Jay in the morning, during all meetings and after practice. So the guy came in and he took command of our huddle and took command of our offense and our team.
I think that's what impresses us as teammates so much, is that, you know, he's the backup quarterback, but he's here as much as Jay is, studying the game tape, studying the game plan. And as a teammate of his, you have full confidence in a guy that's working that hard. And I think, I'm sure the offensive line feels the same way. I just know us as teammates do. And it's, you know, it's, we're going to miss Jay, but having a guy that works that hard and, you know, that athletic, and we see it in practice as well, how good he is.
He's the ambassador, I think. He's one of the few guys on the team that can go from position group to position group and relate to everyone. He's a player coach, if you will.
Yeah, I think he totally is. And I think Jay loves him for that.
All right, we got to take a timeout. When we come back, and we'll talk more about McCown, the offense going forward. We'll find out about Jermon Bushrod's background. But coming up next, enjoy a free Reds Tavern double with purchase when the Bears get a takeaway this season. Brought to you by Red Robin, home of Tavern Double Tuesday. This is Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Along with Patrick Manley, I'm Zach Zaidman. Our guest is the left tackle, Jermon Bushrod. And guess what, Pat? Jermon Bushrod gets to play Are You a Bears Authority? It is the most popular segment of the radio program. It's brought to you by Sports Authority, and here's how we play. I ask a question. If you know the answer, you hit the buzzer in front of you. Pat, show us how it's done. Just like that. If you hear that and it's your buzzer, you get to answer the question first. If you get it wrong, the other player gets an opportunity to answer the question. Whoever's got the most right after seven questions wins a Sports Authority gift certificate for a lucky Bears fan. So Patrick's playing for Mike Dalton from Winfield, and Jermon, you're playing for Anthony Stefani from Chicago. And if you're listening right now and you want to play in the future, all you have to do is go to chicagobears.com/CBN and click on the Bears All Access page, where you can listen to all of our shows. Ready for this?
Let's do it.
Yep.
All right. Let's good go. Luck, Jermon. Yep. You know, it's never easy taking on the captain.
No,
all
I'm
right.
not very good at it. So. Oh, well.
Patrick does have a losing streak. He lost last week to Major Wright. Yeah. A stunning comeback really? For Major. Yeah, all right. Nice. Bears quarterback Josh McCown's younger Bears quarterback Josh McCown's younger brother played quarterback at Louisiana Tech and with the Browns and the Saints of the NFL. What's his name? Patrick.
Luke.
Correct.
Yes. I should have had that one.
He's a teammate of yours.
I needed that one.
Is he like Josh?
A little bit. I mean, I really haven't spent too much time with him, but man, I needed that question.
Well, you're going to have to come back. But you know what? The Bears offense has been a good fourth quarter team, especially in the second half of the year. You guys have really lit it up. All right, so here we go. Question number two. Name two NFL teams Josh McCown has played for besides the Bears. Patrick.
Let's go Arizona Cardinals.
Correct.
And
I think I know this
one. Oh, man.
You got 3 seconds, Pat.
I know.
Three,
one,
two, one.
Carolina Panthers.
Correct.
Yes.
That's what I was, yes. I was waiting for.
How many total is it, though? Do we know? It's quite a bit,
he
right?
He also played for the Lions and the Raiders.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah. So, And look good in that second half. By the way, in the last few years, you know, you guys have had some issues against Green Bay, but McCown started one of those games, put up 21 points on the board. It's the highest you guys have scored against the Packers since 2009.
Yeah, I saw your tweet on that.
Yeah, so there's really? Hope going yeah. into this game.
You got that going for us.
Yeah, no, and he's got command of the offense with much better weapons this time than yes. he did the yes. last time he went to Lambeau Field. All right, so a 2-0 lead for Patrick against Jermon Bushrod here on Are You a Bears Authority? Question number three. The following Bears wore this jersey number, okay? So you tell me the number when I start listing the players. Ian Scott, Chetta Ozugwu,
Patrick. I have to get that one.
He 90. Did hit it. Jermon, I'm the judge.
I'll give it to him. All right.
Jermon, you got to hit
95.
That. Correct. It is a 2-1
I got to hit it
lead.
Harder. I don't want to break it now.
Try it.
That's
there
it?
You go. You got to pretend it's like Jared Allen. Just kind of right at him. All right. So it's a 2-1 lead. Patrick over Jermon, and the number is 95. Richard Dent wore number 95. And the final Bears number to be retired in the history of the organization is going to come December 9th at Soldier Field. Number 89 is going to be retired.
Dustin Lyman. Yeah. I mean, Coach Dick.
Yes. You guys had an opportunity to meet up with the coach during the preseason. All right, question four. What round of this year's NFL draft was Jordan Mills selected? Jermon.
Fifth.
Correct.
Yeah.
Oh.
I hope you get
Don't
that
call
one.
It a comeback.
What's he like, by the way? We spent so much time talking about Kyle Long.
He's such a quiet guy, man. He's the total opposite of Kyle Long.
Exactly right. I think that's why they get along so well.
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly why they get along so well.
And as a guy who's been in the league for a while, it is impressive what these guys are doing.
Yeah, it is.
In year one,
it is.
New system, bunch of new – I mean,
I'm excited for them, man. Yeah, I tell them every time I can talk about them, those two guys as rookies coming in, playing the way that they're playing is unreal.
We'll find out more about both those guys a little bit later on in the show. All right, game tied at two. Now things are really getting started here in Are You a Bears Authority with Patrick Manley and Jermon Bushrod. Question number five, we go back to another one of the Bears rookies. Where did Bears rookie linebacker Kasim Green play his Patrick?
Rutgers.
Correct.
I got to be quicker.
By the way, Kasim almost knocked down Devin Hester in the celebration after that touchdown.
Did he? I didn't see
it. I mean, that was unbelievable.
He's excited learning. Rookie.
Yeah, he's clearly learning from Blake Costanzo. Question question number six.
We should ask where Blake Costanzo went to college, because I'll get that.
Well, he was on the show, and I joked around with him. Did you go to Lehigh? And he looked, no, man, Lafayette.
Lafayette, man. Patriot League.
That's right.
Said the program was about to – they were about to shut down the program before he joined.
Yeah, his story of how he got in the NFL is amazing.
Yeah, it is a great story. All right, question number six. Patrick Manley leads Jermon Bushrod 3-2. Spell Corey Wooten's last name. Jermon.
W-O-O-T-T-E-N.
Incorrect.
What?
W-O-O-T-E-N.
You sure it's not an
incorrect.
Okay, hold on.
We'll go back and forth. Jermon gets an opportunity.
I'm not.
W-O-O-T-E-N-N?
Incorrect. Patrick,
two E's?
This might be the funniest.
No way, that's two E's.
How do you not know how to spell Corey Wooten's name?
I have W-O-O. Oh, we didn't have done them all. What's the
W-O-O-T-E-E-N.
All right.
Go, just move on. Next one.
I'll get a half.
The correct answer.
You're making us just look dumb.
Yeah, the correct answer is W-O-O-T-T-O-N.
O-N, Wu-Tan. I think it's Wu-Tin.
Are you sure it's not an E in there?
I'm not making it up. Check next time you see him on game
day. T-Mez spells his name wrong on the jersey. That's what it is.
Yeah, I'm definitely doing that.
All right, so this question's for all the marbles. Either Jermon gets an opportunity to force overtime or Patrick Manley wins. Question number seven. Eric Weems played for the same NFL team from 2007 to 2011 before he came to the Bears. Patrick.
Atlanta Falcons.
Yeah.
Patrick Manley wins. And he was in your division, the NFC South.
I had it. I didn't hit it hard enough.
Congratulations to Patrick Manley, who has enabled Mike Dalton from Winfield
go,
to
Mike.
Win a Sports Authority gift certificate.
Congrats, Mike.
Yeah, it's a good job by Mike. I know he had he knew he was going to lose the game.
Well, I think he probably – I mean, I haven't well lately. I think they want the visitor, not me, not the home team.
Oh, man. All right, let's take a timeout. When we come back, what we're going to do is start finding out about the rest of the members of the Bears offensive line, including the offensive coordinator who doubles as the offensive line coach, Aaron Cromer, very interesting guy that you know better than most, Jermon. This is Bears All Access brought to you by Sports Authority on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Watch Bears Game Day Live, brought to you by Advocate Healthcare, Sundays at 10:30 a.m. on Fox Chicago, part of the Chicago Bears Network.
And this is also part of the Chicago Bears Network, Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority, along with the soulful sound of a Patrick Manley. I'm Zach Zaidman, Jermon Bushrod, our guest, here for the full hour. I just had a competitive Bears All Access. Are you a Sports Authority? Are you a Bears Authority?
My buzzer wasn't working either.
Oh, come on. You're still complaining about it. I mean,
mine's still on. That must mean I won.
See, it's a malfunction.
Mine's lit up.
Some malfunction.
Oh, no, it's off.
I just like the fact they're always complaining, you guys. Always complaining.
It's too competitive. No matter what we're doing, you're going to compete.
Yeah.
That's part of the good thing, I think, about the Bears locker room is there are a lot of competitive guys.
Yeah, we have a third grade. I call it a third grade locker room. You know, we used to have four square and wiffle ball and what thing with the dodgeball. It's just
it gets us through, man.
Yeah.
It gets us through the day.
Do you guys still play dodgeball in the
locker room? No, because they redid the locker room, so the lights hang down and it's too nice now. And if we were throwing that dodgeball, we'd cause a lot of damage. I don't think the upstairs people would be happy at all.
I just think if people could understand that, you know, the size of football players, the size of a locker room, which is no different than, you know, a locker room at your local health club, and just a dodgeball that you used to use when you were in elementary school.
Oh, yeah. We go to Toys R Us or wherever and buy one.
You have like a 6'5", 300-pound guy, you know, running with a head of steam, you know.
Offense versus defense. I bet people are listening right now. They can't believe we actually used to play dodgeball, but we did.
Back
full
in the day.
Full-on adult dodgeball.
Did anyone ever get hurt?
No. Nope, nobody ever got hurt. It was always policed pretty well. We never let it get too far.
Did anyone ever take a
There were some fastballs right into the chest of people. Yeah, the big smack sound. Yeah.
Did you avoid you avoided the head though, right?
Oh, of course. Yeah, we're such good athletes. We could not.
I know
sure
you guys would
anything,
never
anything,
want to embarrass
anything
somebody.
Anything but the face.
Yeah,
anything
exactly.
It's like an episode of The Sopranos. Who's the best ping pong player in that rec room that you guys have?
Everybody says they are. Jermon, do you play it all? I don't play it all.
I'm more of an Xbox type of guy.
Yeah. Like, Devin says he's the best. Brandon Marshall says he's the best. Jay says he's the best. Robbie says he's the best.
I don't know who the best is.
Yeah. They all, everybody is in their mind.
I was told Brian Urlacher was.
He was the best, but he's not here anymore.
Yeah. So it's
he had to pass up the crown, but.
Yeah. It's open season.
They're fighting for it right now.
Patrick Manley, Jermon Bushrod, our guest here on Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority. All right, tell us about this. Well, let me start off with something that Aaron Cromer told me before the game against Washington, because I asked him, you were taking on a 3-4 defense. There were some issues against the Saints, the previous 3-4 team that you had faced. And he said one of the things that he wanted you guys to do, he called it a division of focus, where he compartmentalized how you guys were reading the opposing defense, so no one person had to see the entire field. So the offensive line, led by Roberto Garza, had to see certain things on the field. Jay Cutler had to see some other things. The reason I bring it up is Green Bay also runs a 3-4. How did that work out the other day?
I think for the most part it worked out well. There's a couple things that we wish we could go back and redo. But, when he says the whole focus deal, it's just about going into the game, sticking to our game plan, knowing that, okay, just like what you were saying, Garza needs to read his keys, Jay needs to read his keys, or whoever the quarterback is, and we will be successful. And then, honestly, for the most part, for the majority of the game, we did that, and it worked in our favor. We had some success, and we're just, we're fighting to get better every single week because, once you make a couple mistakes in one game, other teams are going to try to piggyback that and see if they can't, make you slip up again.
Can you explain? I think people understand a 4-3 is four down linemen, three linebackers. A 3-4 is three down linemen, four linebackers. Can you explain the difference as an offensive lineman blocking those two different schemes and, what makes it so – people say it's so difficult blocking a 3-4 or, the difference between the two, basically.
Well, first off, it has to do with the type of bodies you're going to face. When you play a 3-4 line, your defensive end, your nose guard, and your other defensive end are usually big, strong, stout guys who can use their hands well, who, honestly, you're not going to move too much. They're big, strong bodies, man, and their best assets are using their hands, extension, and using their eyes to figure out how to shed the block and get to whatever gap. And the linebackers are not as fast flow as some of the 4-3 linebackers that you'll face. They're more downhill. They are button press type guys. They use their hands well. They're kind of just like the guys in front. They're just smaller, more athletic, and
To give people an example, you want that image in your head. Up front, the nose tackle in a 3-4 is what you're talking about, those big guys up front. Vince Wilfork comes to mind, B.J. Raji, just big, fat guys that are strong.
I don't like the word term. I don't like the term fat. I will go with pleasantly plump.
All right, that's fine.
Hefty. Hefty, if you're a big kid, you're hefty.
Yeah. Husky.
Husky was the worst term you could have as a kid.
I think all the linemen were referred to as husky at one point in time.
I'm more sore after a 3-4 game than I am after a 4-3 game. Because it's just it's physical games, man. You're down there, you're wrestling with these big people, play in and play out, and You know, when I think when you're in the 3-4, when you play 3-4, you have more opportunities to show different fronts or have different alignments or bring different blitzes from different places. So you got to be mentally, you have to be pretty sharp when you play a 3-4 team.
Does it change pass protection-wise as much as, like, you were talking body size of an outside linebacker compared to a D-end?
And... Yes, because you now with these 3-4 fronts, you got the three strong guys in the middle who can – you know, who are powerful enough to bull rush you into the quarterback. And then you have these teams with these freaks on the outside, these outside linebackers who are defensive ends, maybe a little smaller, just as strong, most of the time quicker. So, you know, when you have different pass protections, we have like a set of rules for four down fronts, and we have a set of rule for a three down Okie front. So when we get our game plans, I remember the first time I played a 3-4, we pretty much took all the rules that we had for a 4-3, and it was a new rule. And I remember my mind was just spinning. Now it just comes second nature to me.
Right, but it took time to get there.
Oh, absolutely.
So I can't even imagine what goes on if you're Kyle Long, if you're Jordan Mills. And maybe I'm sure they faced it in college, but it's a totally different deal in the NFL, especially when you practice against a 4-3, at least the Bears do, on a regular basis.
Right. And for those guys, man, they're just putting in the extra work, getting here earlier, because I mean, I know that's the things I had to do. You know, I had to study a lot more and make sure that when I go out to practice, when I go out to the game, I'm comfortable enough to know my assignment mentally, so physically I can just go and, you know, fight to do what I do. But if you go up to the line not knowing who you have to block and you're kind of uneasy mentally, then physically you're going to be off as well, because you're just not sure. So you just try to be you just try to go out there with as much confidence as you can and just learning that playbook. And those two rookies on the right side are doing a good job of learning and leaning on the veterans when needed.
Pat, I don't know about you, but I got so many more questions about the Bears offense. So let's take a quick timeout, and then we'll come back and listen to the wisdom being provided by Jermon Bushrod here on Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. The Bears thank Giordano's Famous Pizza for providing dinner tonight. Stop by one of their 40 Chicagoland locations for the city's favorite stuffed pizza and visit Giordano's.com. Along with Patrick Manley and Jermon Bushrod, I'm Zach Sabin. This is Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority during the bye week, which, boy, your bodies, I mean, during this time of the week, you know, here on a Thursday on a regular game week, you'd probably just get to the point where you're no longer sore from the week before, right?
You got to ask him. I'm never sore. Only plays a game.
Yeah, right around today, I start feeling like, okay, I can go play again this week. And kind of going back to that Thursday night game, man, those Thursday night games were you do whatever you got to do to get that body back, but in those 3 days that you – claim to get off, half of you spent, you know, you're in the bed, man. You're sore.
Yeah, so. I think I read something. The NFL wants to possibly add more Thursday night games. I disagree with that. I think it's just guys' bodies. You can maybe handle it once a year, but you can't do it too many times. It's just not fair to the players. You know, they talk about player safety, and that I think you'd see injuries skyrocket on Thursday nights if we continue doing that.
Absolutely.
I got a lot of questions about the offense, but you brought up player safety, and Brandon Merriweather gets suspended, former Bear, so you had a little bit of experience with him. But, you know, you look at what he was doing, and I feel like all the NFL safety rules were put in place to prevent exactly the way he plays.
Mm-hmm. He looks like, when you watch him play, it looks like the 1970s. You know, the guy just headhunting, going for stuff. I'm shocked that he continues doing it as much as he's been fined and preached not to do it.
Yeah.
And I think he got, a two-game suspension, am I right?
Two?
I think
really?
So, yeah.
I mean, at the end of the day, man, it's just you're not just affecting the person that you're hitting or the person that you're attempting to knock out. I mean, you got to think, I mean, these people have families, you know, they care about that people that care about them, and you continue to hit people in the head as much as you do, you know, you're just affecting them longer term, but then you're affecting yourself because you're hitting, you know, you knock yourself out.
He did that a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. If you knock yourself out, you're hitting that person just as hard. You're taking a blow to the head and you're taking money out your pocket, which is never good.
Yeah. Hopefully he doesn't look back and, you know, I'm sure he will look back and be like, why did I do that? But, you know, health-wise, he doesn't look back and be like, what did I do to myself?
Right.
And, you know, I give Alshon Jeffrey a ton of credit for hanging on to that ball when he was drilled by Merriweather. And, boy, Josh McCown sent Brandon Marshall back to the sideline after he got hit. I thought Brandon Marshall was going to lose his mind, and I can completely understand why. Yeah. That must have been hot in the huddle.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, you know, he had to be calmed down a little bit. But, you know, at the end of the day, like I said, he's a competitive person. He wants to have success, and he wants to be protected, and he doesn't want to miss any games or things that shouldn't happen.
Yeah, you don't want to go and try to end someone's career every single time you're making a tackle. That's not really a tackle. He's kind of launching.
Not right.
Yeah,
there's nothing
high.
Wrong with hitting somebody hard, tackling them hard. That's the game of football. But like what you said, the launching part, just there's no need for it.
And I understand, you know, and you guys could, because being veterans in the league, you know, I know you guys are friends with guys on other teams. Where do you draw the line on the showing that you're a guy's friend on game day and yet keeping that competitive distance? You know what I mean?
You got to start that. I mean, I can go back to that 2 weeks ago when I played a lot of my friends from New Orleans. I mean, before the game, it was, you know, it was all love. You know, it's good to see you, blah, blah, blah. Shake hands, you know, man hugs, and all that kind of stuff.
I mean, no, but he's not kidding. They all came. Like, the Saints were coming out of the tunnel.
I'm sure.
And they were veering all the way to the right to the Bears sideline.
Yeah.
And
Jermon was
sitting on the bench, and it was like everyone's coming to say hi to the king. You know, who's who? Jimmy Graham, Drew Brees. I mean, they all. It's like a magnet.
I guarantee you they miss him.
But once 12 o'clock struck, it's time to go. It's time to. It's time to go. We got to win. You know, we had to do whatever we had to do to get a W. And unfortunately, we didn't come out the way that we wanted to. But you know, that was a neat experience. That was a game I was looking forward to.
I think if you know you play hard, I'm talking about playing against your friends. You play hard. You play clean. And even if you hit them hard, or you know.
Oh yeah, I mean
at the end of the game, you're still gonna go over them, give them the man hug, like you said. Hey, exactly. Good game. It's contact is the sport.
Yeah. I mean, it's part of it, man. I want this team to have success. They want to have success. We got to do what we got
to
do.
Right, because to me, the NFL, every single game in the regular season is a playoff to get into the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
So you can't now. Do you pick somebody up if you knock somebody down to the ground? Do you help them up?
I would if it's a guy that I played with or a little bit closer to, I do, yeah.
See, that's good sportsmanship. Yeah. I like that. Very impressive.
Thank my mom and dad for
do
that.
We have to take a break here? That's funny. We got to take a quick time out. When we come back, we'll get more to the questions of the offense and how things are going to change a little bit going forward, because I get sidetracked here with all this good stuff. Patrick Manley, Jermon Bushrod, Zach Sabin, Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. The Bears Coaches Show, brought to you by McDonald's, featuring Jeff Joniak and the Bears coaching staff, airs Monday nights at 6:30 p.m. on News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM WBBM, part of the Chicago Bears network of shows. Alongside Patrick Manley, I'm Zach Sabin. Jermon Bushrod, the left tackle, our guest here on Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority. All right, so you lose the starting quarterback. Josh McCown comes in. You guys still put up 41 points against the Redskins the other day. And you got a little bit of extra time to prepare for your next game against the Green Bay Packers at Lambeau Field with Josh McCown now at quarterback. What changes?
Nothing. We're going to continue to put the same game plan in that we were going to have if Jay was in. You know, the only thing that has to change is us. You know, we have to go out there and we have to come together and we have to score. We have to stay on the field. We have to give our defense a break. And I wish we could have done that a little bit more in the first half of that Redskins game, because those guys took, I believe it was like 70-something snaps that they had to take. And that's something you don't really want for your, you know, you don't want your defense to be out there that long. You know, it's just we want to try to give them a break as much as we can. So, honestly, the only thing that needs to change is just – you know, us, we continue to be more consistent. I mean, that second half of that game playing in at FedEx Field, away from our home, and able to, you know, have the production that we had, that's something you can feed off of. I mean, because, you know, a lot of teams would have caved, oh, man, our starter went down, blah, 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 this and that. No, we came together and we continued to fight, and we're going to continue to fight. That's what we're going to do.
Like, the best part of the answer was when you asked him, is there anything that's got to change? He said nothing. And I think that says a lot for Josh, and then for our offense. We've had other team or other years where we've lost quarterbacks, and it seems like we had to change our entire offensive mentality, and we struggled. And now we don't, and that says a lot.
Yeah, I think a lot of people remember the example that the people used. The Bears had won 5 in a row in 2011, and then Jay Cutler breaks his thumb. They had to go with Caleb Haney as the quarterback. Bears then lost 5 in a row because the offense was limited some, and the whole season went by the wayside. I think this time around, you mentioned it, there's a system of offense here that if you make the correct reads and execute it properly, you have a chance to put points.
To me, on Sunday, the game plan looked the same way as they have the previous times the second half.
Yeah.
I mean, the play calls, it seemed the same. So
I mean, nothing was held back. You know, we were still doing 3-5, 7-step drops. We were running the ball that was in our – we were running the run plays that was in our game plan. Screens. I mean, Josh was out there throwing bullets and all kinds of good stuff.
So, I mean, you're right. The offense took the lead. You guys had the lead before the thing fell apart there. And, you know, it seemed as though I think you got the ball back with 45 seconds to go, right?
Yeah.
If you had more time, that was the issue with the offense. But every time you had the ball, it seemed as though something productive was happening in that game. And you mentioned it, FedEx Field, as loud of an outdoor stadium outside of Seattle as you'll find. So the ability to do that, I think, bodes well heading into Lambeau Field.
Yeah, we just got to keep scoring points. You win games scoring points.
Now, everyone knows the defense has had some issues, and that's even before the injuries, but now you got to deal with that too. How important is it to be able to pick things up and get a big play every game from special teams?
That's going to be a big part of it. We've had years before where, you know, maybe offensively we weren't as good as we needed to be, but our defense was. And special teams, we had to make that difference. And I think that's where I believe we are coming to our own a little bit, that it's our job to do that.
And by the way, was it really a penalty on the onside kick?
By the letter of the law, yes. But, as the way we looked through it through our eyes, no. The way they saw it, yes. So he was technically basically like a nose over the line. But if you watch a kickoff every Sunday – it's a nose every time by a guy. So it's, I don't know if they watch that a little bit closer that it's an onside kick or not, but technically he was, but in my view, he was not, because there's other kicks we had in the game that looked the same way.
All right. Before we say goodbye, give us the inside scoop on the rest of your line mates, Jermon. You've got Matt Slauson right next to you. What's he like?
He's a big physical, just angry type of player. I love playing against. I love playing beside him. just a good guy, man. Real good guy.
Cutler likes him.
He's great.
I mean, he's just the type of guy that just
he's a football player to me. Yeah. He's like, if you draw up an O lineman, he looks like a big beard. You know what I mean? A big guy. He's an O lineman.
All right, Roberto Garza.
He's
quick
the
snapshot.
Glue, man. He's the glue. He's the glue that keeps us together, man. He's been playing this league for a long time. He's our leader, man. It's great playing with him.
And doing it with no ACL in either knee. That's impressive. Mm-hmm. Then on the right side, Kyle Long. You might need an hour to describe him.
you know, with that guy, man, he's just he's a special kind of dude, man. He doesn't stop. He's always talking. He's like a big kid. He's 25 years old. He's like a big kid, man. But he can play some football, man. I love seeing that guy play. Man,
I like watching him before you guys go out there. He looks like a big kid. He gets all excited and punching himself right before every series. It's hysterical.
Yeah.
He is. I believe Martellus Bennett calls him the Chris Wenke of offensive line because he's an older rookie. And of course, Jordan Mills, quiet guy, so you know him just based on the way he acts and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, he's quiet. He comes into work early every single day. He kind of reminds me of myself when I was younger, man. He's putting in the extra work before and after practice, and he just fights to find a way to get it done. I'm excited about their
future.
And
if he ends up like you, the Bears will be in really good shape going forward. It's going to be a little bit of a challenge over the next few weeks, but good luck starting with Green Bay. Enjoy the rest of the bye week, guys. For Patrick Manley and Jermon Bushrod, I'm Zach Zabeman, our executive producer, Greg Miller, Paul Zarang, who helped us blast through the speakers of your radio, and everyone in our downtown studios. So long, everybody. This has been Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority from the Chicago Bears Network Studios at Hallis Hall on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
The Thanks for listening to this Chicago Bears Network presentation of Bears All Access, your all-access pass into the world of Bears football. You can listen to Bears All Access shows online at chicagobears.com. Bears All Access is brought to you by Sports Authority and sponsored by Miller Lite, Verizon, and United.